For eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We always forget the next verse. But God hath revealed them unto us who love him. And I'm glad that I don't know everything about heaven. We know very little about it. Heaven's hard to wrap our minds around, just to be honest with you. It's a place without sin, without sorrow. There's no strife. There's no envy. There's no jealousy. There's no sickness. There's no pain. There's no disease. There's no crippledness. There's no paralysis. There's nothing that hinders nor affects this body. We're going to a place and to a land where this body cannot dwell because it's full of sin, because it's full of sickness, because it's full of disease. But one of these days, the Bible said, "Beloved, ye that love me," it said, "you shall also receive a body likened unto me." Amen. So I'm going to a place, the scripture tells me that I'll have a body that shall be like Christ. I will have the mind of Christ. I will be in the presence of Christ where there is no sin, there is no sorrow, there is no shame, and there is no things that offend or affect, but I'm going to a place that this mind cannot comprehend. Amen? Don't you want to go? Boy, I do. Heaven is my home. As the book of Hebrews said, Abraham said in one place, he said, "We're nothing but a stranger and a pilgrim passing through a strange land." He said, "Looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." I'm glad that we're just strangers and pilgrims here. We love you. We thank you for being here this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would go ahead and turn with us to the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 49. I don't know if we'll keep you very long this morning, honestly. I just want to do what the Lord's laid on our heart. We thought we might go a different direction this morning, and the Lord just brought this back to our minds, our memory. We really couldn't get away from it today. So we want to do our best with God's help to do that which is needful for this hour. And certainly if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin, you've never accepted him as your Savior. I want you to know that this altar is open, and we love to see you saved today. I hope that, I really do, if God convicts you and draws you to an altar of repentance, I hope that you can find him precious to your never-dying soul today. I tell you, I appreciate the Spirit of God that we feel in Silver City Baptist Church this morning. I know that I am where he is, because I can feel him. Amen. There's a lot of people today, and I'll get into this in just a minute. There's a lot of people today, they say that there's no feeling in salvation. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you don't have a feeling about your salvation, then you need to get saved. Because I'm telling you something, friends, this morning, being saved is a transformation from an old man into a new. It's a rebirth. And if you've not been truly born again, then you need to find Christ precious to your soul this morning. I want to read this to you right here this morning in Genesis chapter 49. I'm going to start reading in verse number 8. And this is, I'm sure to you, a familiar passage that you've probably heard preached on. But this is where the Lord has led us this morning. We want to do our best with God's help. Genesis 49, verse number 8, the scripture reads, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise, and thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." And we believe that'd be all the Lord have us to read in your hearing this morning. We pray that God richly add his blessing to the reading of his word. As we look right here in this passage of scripture, you'll see where Jacob, the patriarch of Israel, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, right here we see that Jacob has come to his last days, and in his last days he has called his children in, and he is decreeing his blessings unto the patriarchs, which in And it's not as much today as it was then, but in Hebrew history, this was his last will and testament. The father's word was to be etched in stone, and it was not only was it set, but it was regarded whether it was liked or whether it wasn't, because this is the word of the father. But here we see as Jacob has come down and he's blessing his children. Here we come to where he has come to his son named Judah. And that's what I want to preach on here for just a few minutes this morning. As we look right here, why is Judah so special and so precious? The reason that Judah is so precious is because of this blessing. And from this point on, here we see basically through the entirety of the New Testament until we get to Matthew chapter 1, when we see the fulfillment of Judah. But here we see that Judah was blessed and was to be set apart, and there was a lot of things down through history, I'm sure, that the Israelites could not see where that Judah would ever be the most prominent person or the most prominent people in their nation. But because they had many uprisings, many downfalls, and we know that there was a lot of that happened in between all this. But nevertheless, this is Jacob's blessing. And as we look right here, he's speaking to his son Judah, and he said, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise." And so as we look right here, and we say, "Preacher, now, where does Judah tie into all this?" Because we see that David, of course, was from the tribe of Judah, and we see that from the lineage of David, you can go back over, and I'm not going to read this morning, but I encourage you this afternoon, go home and read Matthew chapter number 1, and you'll see the lineage of the generations from the time of Jacob all the way into the coming of Jesus. Amen. And so we see here that he said, "Judah, thou art he in whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children," listen to this, "thy father's children shall bow down before thee." And so we see this, and we see this great prophecy of things to come. And, of course, I'm sure that Judah didn't understand, nor could he foresee what God was speaking to him through his father Jacob. But this blessing was a continual blessing, and this blessing is also continuing today. And what do you say, "Preacher, I'm going to get into this in just a minute." It says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." And that's in verse number 10. So we skip verse number 9. There's a purpose for that. I'm going back in just a minute. But now listen, we see that Jacob has blessed Judah. He's told him, he said, "All your brethren, all your children shall worship you." He said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come." Who is Shiloh? Shiloh is the Lord himself. Amen. So as we look at this, and it says, "Unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Now we find in verse number 9 the description of the line. Amen. And as we look at verse number 9, the Bible said, "Judah is a lion's whelp." It says, "From the prey, my son, thou art gone up." He stooped down. He crouched as a lion, as an old lion, and who shall rouse him up? Amen. And from that comes my text this morning, who shall rouse the lion? Amen. And friends, listen to me this morning. As we look right here, we see the great prophetics that we have contained in this scripture. Listen, I'm telling you something, friends, today as we look down through history, it's easy for us to see how things played and how things were fulfilled and how things are being fulfilled today. But in the minds and the eyes of these people, listen, they could not understand what was to come. But the glorious unfolding of the prophecy of Christ is the greatest mystery that the Bible has ever held. Amen. We find it here. Of course, we can go beyond this and find Christ, of course, but this gives us the fleshly lineage. This is the first time we really understand, fleshly speaking and carnally speaking, where Christ shall come from. And he says, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. It says he stooped down and he crouched as a lion. Amen. And it says as an old lion. And as we drive these points home, friends, this morning, listen, I want to jump your minds, if you would, to Revelation chapter number 5. And we see in Revelation chapter 5 that John, the Revelator, he's penning by the hand of Christ on an isle called Patmos when he's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And God is speaking directly to him. Amen. And he begins to pen. And the Bible says, and John looked and he said, and I seen him that sat upon the throne. And he that sat upon the throne, he had a book sealed within with on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And the Bible says that as he seen this man, he said, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof? And I know that you've heard me preach on this, but he said, and the heaven was searched, and the earth was searched, and beneath the earth was searched. And I want to stop right there, because I always like to draw your people's attention to what all the entirety of everything that was searched, that was gone over. Amen. Heaven itself was searched. Amen. Do you understand this? Gabriel, Michael, all the unnamed angels, the archangels, all the angels we read throughout the entirety of Scripture, they were all tried. They all come before the judgment bar that day. Yet none could come before the throne, take the seals, and loose them. Amen? None of them. Amen. So heaven itself was searched. Amen. Listen, they searched all the surroundings of heaven, the archangels, all the things that were contained therein. There was none found worthy. Amen. So they left heaven. The Bible says they came to the earth and they searched the earth. Listen, what does that mean? They searched us. Amen. I want you to understand something this morning. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah, and I'm going to get on something this morning that I think is unavoidable. But listen, the Bible said in the first chapter of the book of Jeremiah, he said, behold, I knew thee in the womb. Amen. Now listen, I'm going to speak to you about something. Amen. Listen, there's a lot of people today, they say that abortion is a choice. I'm telling you something. God is the institutor of life. Amen. He is the sole giver, the sole possessor, and he will be the one to take you home. Amen. That's God's business. Amen. Friends, listen, in Jeremiah chapter 1, he said, behold, I knew thee in the womb. So now we draw from Jeremiah, we can jump over to the book of Psalms. In 139, David said, behold, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Listen, he said, you knew me before my uprising. Amen. Listen, when the seed of life is concepted, God knows the finality of our lives. Amen. And because he does, now I want to say this before we get into this too far, and some of you doctrinal people under the sound of our voice this morning, I believe that we are people of free mortal being. We have free will and free desire, but we also serve an omnipotent God. What does omnipotent mean? Omnipotent means he's an all-knowledgeable God. Amen. He knows all things from in the beginning to the end. Amen. He knows all things. He knows our thoughts. He knows our desires. He knows our decisions. Amen. When we were yet in the mother's womb, he knows all things about us. But yet we still have free choice, free reign, and free desire. Amen. But ain't you glad that we serve an omnipotent God? Because he knew in the outstart of all things, he knew that Adam and Eve would fall to the succumb to the subtleness of the devil in the Garden of Eden. Because he knew, he made a way in Jesus. Amen. So now we come back. As we draw from Psalms, we draw from Jeremiah, we find ourselves back over in Revelation. He searched heaven. There was none found. Now he searched the earth. He searched every single one of us. So anybody sitting this morning under the sound of my voice that thinks you are righteous or good enough to go to heaven, I'm going to tell you something. You've already been before the judgment bar of God and you failed. Amen. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. There is none righteous, no, not one. In the book of Isaiah, the scripture said, for your righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Amen. So friends, listen to me. Is there any righteous? No, not one, the Bible says. So friends, today, listen, if you think that your inherited righteousness is good enough to justify you heaven, I will have one thing to tell you. Hell will be your home if you choose to stand on your own righteousness. Amen. Titus 3 and 5, the Bible said, not by our works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing, renewing, and regenerating of the Holy Ghost of God, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Friends, listen to me today. We can't get there by ourselves. So now we see heaven is searched. The earth is searched. You were searched. I was searched. My family, my lineage, my generations that are dead and gone, the generations that are yet to come. Your family, your generations, they were all searched. Listen to me. This is how important Jesus is. Amen. He is irreplaceable. Amen. They have sought for decades and centuries and years trying to find a substitute. What? Listen, trying to find a substitute for the blood of Jesus, and they have still yet to find one. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father lest he come by me. We were all searched, none found worthy. Beneath the earth was searched. Just for benefit of the doubt. Just to see if any could be found. And most of all, just to reconcile that there was no place, nowhere, in no mind, in no soul, in no generation, in the first heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven, in the domains of the souls, just so he could satisfy the minds of all, that every place had been searched, and there still was none worthy that was able nor had the ability to take the scrolls from the God the Father who sat upon the throne and draw those scrolls and open the seals and see what was contained therein. And John said, when I seen this, I wept much, because there was none found worthy to open the book, neither to loose the seven seals therein. John seen this. John seen his own judgment. And I believe that John began to weep. Now, I believe this in my heart. It's not penned in the scripture, but I personally believe this. And don't you go tell nobody that it's scripture, but I personally believe that the reason that John wept is because he seen his eternity without Christ. Amen. That's the reason John wept, is because he said, well, if there's none worthy to open the book, neither to loose the seven seals therein, he said, then there is no possible way of escape for me. But John said, when I began to weep, he said, there was a great angel laid his right hand upon me, and he said, John, fear not. Amen. Ain't you glad that in the midst of our greatest transgression, in the midst of our, in the epitome of our sin, when we stood unrighteous, unholy, seemed like we stood the furthest away from God we had ever been. Does that ever remind you of anything? That's how I felt the day I got lost. Glory. Amen.
when you see that there's no way, no hope, no excuse, every avenue has been exhausted. Amen. That's why there's a feeling to conviction. Amen. When you get lost enough, then you'll get saved. Amen. Hey, I've said this lots of times, and I'll define what I say in just a minute. I'd rather you get saved twice than die lost. Amen. Amen. Hey, I've had people tell me, well, preacher, I don't know if I was saved as an 8-year-old boy or as a 19-year-old man. I said, glory to God, just as long as you know you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, when death comes, heaven will be your home. Glory to God, I'd rather be saved twice than die lost. Amen. Does that mean you can get saved twice, preacher? No, he don't do it once. How many times was you born? Once. Amen. I never understood why this is such a hard subject to cover. Amen. I've got one social security number, one birth certificate. I've got one set of parents. I was born by one mother. Amen. When you're born into the family of God, that's why Christ likened salvation unto birth, because it is detrimental to life. It changes the functionality of everything. Amen. You cannot be unborn. That's why Jesus said, it's final. Amen. Once you're born into my family, now you are part of my family. Your elder brother is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And just so happens to be the Son of God. Amen. Listen. And because he's the Son of God, we've been made heirs, joint heirs, and adopted brothers through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The devil cannot undo it. Amen. I feel pretty good this morning. My daddy's adopted. My physical, biological daddy is adopted. But I'm glad that my nana and granddaddy has always been my nana and granddaddy. Amen. There's no difference between me and any of the rest of the grandkids, because I'm theirs and they are mine. Amen. And above that, listen to me, above that, Shelly's here this morning. Amen. Thank God. Listen, above that, there's legally binding documents. Whoa, that says so. Ain't you glad that your name is written and recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life? Amen. There's a recorded document that I am his, and far beyond that, he is mine. Whoa, listen, don't that make you want to shout? Hey, I tell you, I'm glad I'm saved. Now, after they searched everything, he laid his hand upon him. He said, John, weep not. Now listen to this. He said, for the line of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And John said, listen, John had been over it. He was weeping. He wasn't looking. And the angel declared to him, and he said, fear not. He said, for the line of tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals. And John said, in the midst of his agony and his pain and his despair and all the things that drew his mind away, listen, ain't you glad at the moment in time you were lost, when you finally realized Jesus can save me, and you look up, amen, and salvation is no longer a figment, but it's now a reality, because the old man is gone and the new man has been gloriously reborn. John said, I looked up. He said, in the midst of the throne and the 24 elders and the four beasts, he said, I had seen a lamb as it had been slain before the foundation of the world. You see, Christ hid himself. In Galatians 4:4, the Bible said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. Christ hid himself. Now listen, that may not sound like such a blessing to you right now, but listen, let me tell you something. One of the greatest things, where did he hide himself? I'm going to tell you just exactly where he hid himself. Amen, and you can find it in the Bible. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the Bible said that God killed an animal and made a coat of skins, put it on them. Listen to this. And listen, when he went, and I want you to understand something. I'll get to that in just a minute. Amen. There's just so much good stuff this morning. Amen. Like panning for gold. Amen. Hey. But let me tell you something. Ain't you glad when Adam and Eve was in their sin? Ain't you glad that the God of all the heavens and the earth, he still came down? He knew they'd sinned. He knew they were hiding. He knew they had messed up. But ain't you glad we serve a God in the midst of our sin and iniquity, came down still looking for his friend? Adam, Adam, where art thou? It's been a many days in my life when I have been far away from God. And I'm so glad in the cool of the evening when it seemed like sunset was fixing to catch me in the dark. I'm glad I heard a voice said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Adam said, here am I. He said, I hid myself. Amen. Amen. Ain't you glad even when we hide ourselves, even when we find ourselves in our sin, we have such a loving, compassionate, and caring God. He comes looking for us. Amen. Preacher, I don't know where the Lord is in my life. I'm going to tell you where the Lord is. He's exactly where you left him. Amen. Christ hid himself. Where'd he go? When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the Bible said, on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, said, thou shalt not eat thereof. The day that you do, you shall surely die. And he said, beside the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, there stands the tree of life. What is the tree of life? Let me rephrase, who is the tree of life? Where do we go for the cleansing flood? Calvary. Amen. Let me tell you something, friends. Where did Christ hide himself? The Bible said after Adam and Eve had sinned that God exiled them from the Garden of Eden. He put two cherubs. That guarded the gates of the city that kept the way of the tree of life. Amen. Hell and all the principalities, the powers, the adversaries, and all things that we know of that are an adversity to God in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, listen, God hid himself from all the iniquity that day. That's why when the heaven was searched, beneath the earth was searched, and the earth was searched, there was none found worthy. Because he had hid himself. But then you go over to Matthew chapter 1, verse number 21, and it said, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And they said, who is this? And they said, it's Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Amen. And Joseph, the Bible said, when he woke from his sleep after he had betrothed his wife and never laid with her, the Bible said when the child was born that he called his name Jesus. Amen. You see, he hid himself until he revealed himself. The precious crown jewel and diadem of heaven, the most precious thing that heaven has or will ever have, hid himself. Why? Because he loved you and you and you and me. In the day he came, he came as a lowly little lamb. The Bible says that in the book of Isaiah that his visage is mired, which means at Calvary they beat him unrecognizable. In Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says that the chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders, that our iniquity was upon him. The Bible tells us that he was beaten beyond recognition, that he was beaten with staves, that the cat of nine tails, he was tied in the city streets of Jerusalem and beat 50 stripes, save one, which was penalty enough in itself. Listen, they cut his flesh until literally his organs began to fall from his body. Amen. And they took him to a hill called Golgotha, and they crucified the Son of God. They beat him, they mocked him, they stripped him naked, yet he stayed his voice. He made 7 utterances from the cross that day, one of which being, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now I'm going to tell you something, listen, and I hope that you've thought about this previously, but there's a lot of things I think that I don't say. Amen. I've said lots of times in my mind and never said it to the congregation, these people make me furious. Amen. Ain't you said that about your preacher a time or two? Say amen, because you're lying if you ain't. Can't stand that man sometimes. Preacher, hour and a half, dinner's running, I'm hungry, we got places to be, places to go, amen. Never said it, but you thought it. Let me tell you something. Christ, when he was on Calvary, not only did he never say it, he never thought it. Pure, eternal, immortal love was showed to us that day on Calvary. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He stayed his voice. He stayed all of heaven. The Bible said he had 12 legions of angels at his beck and call. 72,000 angels. There was one angel went through Egypt and destroyed every firstborn. There was one angel that went into the valley of Achan and killed all the Philistines. Friend, listen to me. There was one angel constantly through the Bible, but the Bible said that Jesus had 72,000 of the finest at his beck and call. Yet he stayed because he loved you. And as the Bible portrays in Isaiah 53, the Lamb, the Paschal Lamb, the redeeming Lamb, hung between heaven and earth that day on Calvary as the only way that the remission of sins could be sought. And as he reached up into heaven and he grabbed God by one hand, he reached down with the other and grabbed humanity with the other. And he said, where the bridge was once broken, he said, I now reunite man unto God by one way and one way only, and that is through me, the blood of Jesus Christ. If you go to heaven, you'll go through Jesus, or you will not go at all. Then the Bible tells us this. The Bible says that they buried him. He said, not only do I have the power to lay my life down, I also have the power to take my life up. Listen, when he took his life up the third and glorious day, Mary Magdalene found him as she went to the garden to anoint him with spices. And she presumed it was the gardener. Let me tell you this. The gardener's robe and attire of that day and time was not like we think we're going out to work in the tulips in the garden. Amen. Gardener's attire looked so similar to the high priest attire that they were often mistaken. So, amen, let me tell you, he had on a golden ephod, and he was striped with the breastplate of righteousness and the crown of righteousness. He looked, and listen, Mary presumed it was the gardener. Then he spoke, and she turned to see the anointed, resurrected, risen Son of God, and he was no longer the lamb, but he was the coming lion. Now, do you understand verse 9 and 10 a little bit better? Judah is a lion's whelp. A lion's whelp is a young lion, by the way. It says, from the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion, as an old lion. And who shall rouse him up? Let me tell you something, friends. Listen to me. I'm glad that my God is a God of love. Yes, he is. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of peace. But he's also a God of judgment. And he's just in his judgment. The Bible says in John 5 and 28, it said, marvel not at this, for the hour and time is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. They that have done good unto the resurrection of righteousness, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He said, but I not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Amen. He said, for this I declare unto you that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are, which are alive. He said, for the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 50, he said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit corruption, neither doth this mortal body enter into heaven. He said, for lo, he said, behold, there's coming a time in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall put on incorruption. So when this mortal shall have put on immortality, and this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, so then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Revelation chapter 10, the Bible said that the great angel come. And I've already preached on this one time, but if you read down the latter part of that chapter, the Bible said that he shall take one foot, declare one foot, put it on land, one foot, put it on sea, and declare that time shall be no more. Amen. When you're in a place that is without time, the only place you can be is in eternity. Amen. Do you agree? If you're in a place that has no time, the only place you can be is in eternity. So if you're in eternity, who is the one that calls all things to an end? The same one that started it in the beginning, Jesus. Who shall rouse the lion? Don't listen to the radio, to the television. I'm just telling you. From this right here, don't listen to the radio, don't listen to the television. They can't no man tell you that he's coming today. They can't no man tell you he's coming tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of problems with all these other doctrines floating around about time periods, thousands of years between the first and second resurrection, 7 years between this. If they were infinite time periods, listen, let me tell you something. If they were definite time periods that people, listen, often discuss today, then I can guarantee you one thing. I can count. Can't you? Jeremy, let me tell you something. If I see the rapture of the church, the secret catching away of the saints, I can tell you 7 years from the day when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. That's why it's not so. He said it is a secret. Use it for a hat rack sometimes. Who shall rouse the lion? Preacher, can he come back today? Absolutely. Amen. People tell me, well, no, this has to come to pass, and this has to come to pass, this has to be fulfilled. Let me tell you who you're dealing with. Amen. People get so brassy sometimes. Listen, they talk about Christ like he's coming at their command. But let me tell you, Jesus is coming when he declares that time shall be no more. And it don't matter what you think or what you say or how much you do or don't like it. Who shall rouse the lion? The lion is coming. Are you ready to meet him? If you're lost this morning, y'all come on to the piano, come to the song. If you're lost this morning and don't know Jesus and the free pardon of sin, I want to invite you, please, come talk to my Jesus. If you're a place in your life that you think that you can't get out of, and you know, this is something that the church today, we think we're too good to talk about or to speak about. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people in the Christian community that I believe are saved. They're dealing with addictions. Amen. I'm telling you, the church needs to extend an arm of help to these people. Amen. We think sometimes just because we're so righteous, so good, and so holy, we forget what we used to be. Amen. Amen. Myself included. Friends, listen to me this morning. If you have a need, please come. Please come. Tomorrow may not come. The lion may come today. Jesus is coming. Preacher, I've heard that all my life. I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear it the last time one day. How about you this morning? Do you know Jesus? Do you have a trouble? Do you have a trial? Do you have an addiction? Listen, it's none of my business. If you want to tell me, you can tell me and I'll help pray for you. But if you've got something you need to work out between you and God, you get up here in the altar and get down to business with Him. It ain't none of mine. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning.